Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here to see this audience this evening. Today I would like to discuss a little bit about what I've been doing the last year in terms of developing a horticulture program at Oregon State University in the Columbia Basin of the Western U.S. So a little bio about me first. I earned my PhD in 2015 from the University of Hawaii at Manoa in crop production. Before that, I also earned my master's in 2011 as also at the UH Manoa in weed science and plant establishment. And before that, I was at the University of Nevada, Reno, a Bachelor of Science in 2007. So this led me to my current position at Oregon State University in the Department of Horticulture, based at the Hermiston Agricultural Research and Extension Center. This started in September of 2016, so this is my 369th day as a faculty member. So a little background about Oregon State University and some of the extension centers. OSU is based in Corvallis, Oregon, and that's west of the Cascades in the Willamette Valley. However, the College of Ag Science has 11 branch experiment stations that are spread around Oregon, based in strategic locations to service the diverse agricultural industries of the state. So for example, along the Columbia, in the mid-Columbia region, there's a tree fruit research facility, there's a dry land research facility in Pendleton, and then the Hermiston Agricultural Site that's in the Star is where I am, which is the high-value irrigated crop production station. So within that area of the Herrick is what I'll refer to the Hermiston Ag Research Center. Herrick is located in the Columbia Basin, and that services approximately 250,000 acres of irrigated crops. A large portion of that is in potato production, but there's also a very wide range of diverse crops grown in the area, and the scale of the production also is sizable. For example, onions produced there are around 14,000 acres, and there are tens of thousands of acres of organic crops being produced as well. So a very diverse and rich region within the Columbia Basin. So specifically at the at Herrick, the site was established in 1909 as a livestock research facility. And as the region began to draw more water from the Columbia River, and this irrigated agriculture started to flourish with the advent of center pivot irrigation and some of the modernization of irrigation technologies, the area began to shift from livestock into irrigated agriculture. So as the experiment station and the region shifted from that livestock approach, the station followed and moved into the irrigated agriculture as well. So what we see in this image is an aerial view of Herrick, in which the station itself is on approximately 300 acres of field space with 13 center pivot irrigations that are all automated, controlled remotely from off-site locations if needed, one variable rate irrigation pivot that covers 60 acres that's able to, each individual nozzle can be remotely operated for precision irrigation studies, as well as a number of greenhouses and labs to service a wide variety of irrigated issues. So my program that I'm beginning is the Herrick Horticulture Program. There was a historic horticulture program at this station, but it was vacated in 2011, in which Dr. George Plough retired, and they refilled the position in September of 2016 at the assistant professor level with a 70% research, 25% extension, and 5% service appointments. So this created a unique opportunity and some challenges as well, because that five-year fallow duration essentially broke the ties that and the relationships that the stakeholders had with the horticulture program. So I came into almost a new program, and this also allowed for a lot of unique opportunities in terms of developing the direction of the program. And I was able to re-identify the stakeholders, re-identify the issues, and then focus in a direction that is most suited to them and my own research interests as well. So then that presented the question, where am I going and how am I getting there? So some of the first steps I took was, coming into the region, I had to determine who the stakeholders were and let them know that the horticulture program was back up and running and try to get some of the networking involved and some of that interaction. So I went about this by trying to get my name out in terms of news articles, press releases, going to conferences and just discussing with the growers, going to their farms and probably bothering them in some situations, and I'm sure lots of calls and emails that also possibly annoy them to some extent. But throughout all of that stakeholder identification and the needs assessments and the networking, I was able to identify some of the key players and the key crops and have discussions with them and hold focus sessions, so I was able to prioritize and focus some of my research direction. And what that came up with was a pretty wide range of challenges, ranging from water resources, weed management, pest management, the need for new cultivars, nutrient management, as well as organic crop production methodologies. And as with the wide range of challenges, the crops that were needing some attention were very diverse as well, ranging from row crops such as onion to small fruits such as blueberry and grapes for wine production. So my next step would be to try to, I worked on trying to determine what projects I could get up and running right away to try to service some of these challenges. So I'm going to go through briefly just four of the projects which I have going this season that are just wrapping up right now. So one of them is a weed control study with onion production. And this was the evaluation of new chemical technologies to control broadleaf weeds and onion production systems. And the objective here was essentially a standard weed science experiment in which we're trying new chemistries to test the crop response and the weed control efficacy of these products. So we were combining some of the old grower standards and using them as control treatments, as well as introducing a variety of new treatments at varied intervals from late pre-emergence to the sixth leaf stage of application. And what we found is that some of the products we tried were injurious to the onions, resulting in the second pitcher down in almost complete crop loss. But that is still a great result because we know that that's not a practical solution. So we also found that there are also very great chemicals that we could use for future evaluation that had promising results as well that could really help the growers use reduced rate chemicals that are extremely effective and long lasting. So in the future, along with doing this trial again, I'd like to move into more of the irrigation aspects in terms of testing drip irrigation in terms to offset some of the water usage from the traditional center pivot irrigation. Next, we'll shift gears a little bit into watermelon. Hermiston is iconic for watermelon production. We grow very sweet melons, and that's due to the elevated daytime temperatures and the cool nighttime, causing a net accumulation of sugars within the fruit. So Hermiston on the water tower, there's a watermelon pitcher. So of course I had to do some watermelon work as well. So the growers generally, when they grow the watermelons, they pre-plant, fumigate the soil. So they shank in a traditional fumigant to kill the soil, reduce the soil-borne pathogens. And it's environmentally challenging. There's health consequences with it. It's expensive, requires special training to do these applications, and it's expensive. And some of the growers lately have been saying that there's reduced efficacy with some of these chemicals as well. So I wanted to try to introduce another tool to their basket, and one from an organic and sustainable approach. So the chemicals I was working at are mostly organic, and they're reactive oxygen species trying to control the soil-borne pathogen Fusarium wilt in watermelon production. What we found is that in this first season, we did not have any injurious results to the watermelon. Our yields from the controls were equivalent to those with the treatments applied. So we do know it's safe for use in watermelon production in terms of, again, the yield and the sugar content. But we did find inconclusive response to the infection rate of the Fusarium oxysporum in the soil. And that's due to it's a common case in a disease, a soil-borne pathogen study, and we didn't pre-inoculate. And so that's the direction we'll go for next year when we replicate this trial. So other research ideas with watermelon is I'd like to look at other pollinator varieties. As I mentioned, new cultivars are needed in the region. as well as grafted rootstock for disease resistance to work to complement some of the work by Washington State University that Carol Miles is working on, as well as sunburn protection for the late season melons. So I'll just go through these last two pretty quickly. Sweet corn, I'm doing a trial with seeds that are treated with a variety of insecticides and fungicides to try to increase stand establishment. And the idea here is to reduce the total chemical usage for the steel production of sweet corn. Opposed to if you could target the chemical to the seed, opposed to going through and broadcasting a tank mix of chemicals over the whole field. And then next, with the broccoli, I was evaluating crop maturity based on a growing degree indices. So we were looking at trying to assess the head characteristics and the yield of broccoli at four different planting dates spread out within a month and six different varieties. And again, this is to facilitate the new crop and the new market potential for the region. So basically the work I've been doing, there's also other projects I didn't list in terms of huckleberry, biofilms on blueberries, and a whole range of different trials we're working on. But the overall theme is trying to foster environmental sustainability and trying to help growers work on a different tools for them while remaining economically competitive on a large scale. That's what the Columbia Basin and these growers really are. They're large scale, and it really, growing and farming is about economics, but we want to try to think about the environment and some of our methods as well. And the goal is to have a regionally and nationally applicable results, as well as I said, mentioned the new crop introductions for the market potential. So as we move forward, next summer, we'll be doing a replicates of these trials with some modifications to try to increase some of the challenges or decrease some of the challenges which we saw this year, as well as step back and use this wintertime period, aside from writing grants and working up data, to try to reassess the grower needs and see if what direction the program is going, if that is the focus it needs to be, and if it's maximizing the impact of the work that I've been doing. And I also, there's been a little deviation or a change in direction into water resources, in which isn't directly horticultural related, but it is to some extent. So briefly, we'll just talk about some of the funding. Some of the projects, the onion, the watermelon, and the broccoli, in which I talked about earlier, those were funded this year at about $38,000. I led a USDA proposal with water resources related to water quality and quantity and nitrate contamination in groundwater, which is pending for $5.2 million. And I co-led a $500,000 grant with pollinators and pasture production. Not funded was I led a USDA OREI at $1 million, which was looking at increasing the tools for organic blueberry producers in the Columbia Basin, as well as the drip irrigation in onion, which was not funded, which I mentioned that was a direction I wanted to go in as well. And also was a co-PI on the USDA SDRI for $6 million that was looking at expanding horticultural methods, again, for blueberry crops. So the not funded, there's the large value, the $7.2 million, but this is also the first year of submission for these projects. So we're hoping that with some modifications, they were received well by the funding agencies. So we're hoping that a resubmission next year will have greater success and secure some of this funding. Some of the other accomplishments in terms of publications, with some previous data, two as lead author. One is a co-author in the journals of Seed Technology, Court Science, and Native Plant Journal, as well as two posters, which I co-authored. I am on two graduate committees for one PhD student and a master's student, as well on an active OSU faculty search committee that is through the Department of Horticulture at OSU at the Mid-Columbia Agricultural Research and Extension Center. And this is in tree fruits And again, it is active, so if anyone is looking for a position in tree fruits at OSU, it's a great position and a great location. It's open for about another week, so that's my plug-in for that. As well as two professional committees, the Lower Umatilla Basin Groundwater Management Area and the Pacific Northwest Vegetable Association Planning Committee. I'm also on the Board of Directors of the Oregon Water Coalition and help organize four sessions at two conferences, the Pacific Northwest Vegetable Association and the Hermiston Farm Fair, which reached together about 1,100 participants. So overall, there were a lot of successes and challenges, as we would expect in a first year of a program. Hopefully more successes than anything else. But the overall goal of my conclusion is I've been trying to work at these satisfying the grower needs and finding the focus. But really, what I want to do now is step back and evaluate what I perceive as my accomplishments with my stakeholders and with the colleagues to see if progress is really progress in terms of creating and resulting in impacts. Because that's what my work is all about, and that's what I want the horticulture program at OSU Herrick to be about as well, is resulting in impact. So I'd like to thank the Department of Horticulture for great support, my mentoring committee, as well as the faculty and staff at the research station, students, and of course the regional growers for their direction. So with that, I'd like to open up for questions, advice, feedback. Yes. There is. The question was, is there opportunity or need for rotational cover crops? And the region, which something that's really been impressive to me is that the growers and the regional production is very sophisticated with irrigation technology and really progressive cover crops. So I believe there is more work to be done, but the growers are almost all the time the soil is covered. It's very rare to go by a field and see bare soil. So that's a really impressive side of the valley. But there is potential for cover crop research, definitely, and I would like to evaluate that more in the future. All right. Thank you very much.